For tonight's Christmas talk, I've divided it into three sections to give you a shape that you can follow. And the first thing that I want to talk about is how odd Christmas is. Some of the things that us Brits do at Christmas time is really quite odd when you think about it. We don't drink wine, we drink hot wine. Not chicken, but something often drier and less tasty. Not normal vegetables, but tiny squashed cabbages. Not bread, but liquid bread. And then the next day we eat it all over again, cold. And who on earth looked at Christmas dinner and said, I know what this meal needs, a bad joke, a paper crown, and nail clippers. Marcus Nodder's written all about this in his mini book called Christmas Cracker. And amazingly, he thinks that these things, the joke, the crown, and the nail clippers, get to the heart of the Christmas message and what it's really about. Not quite sure how he does that, but we've got lots of copies available, and you're welcome to take one from the table by the entrance as you leave if you want some Christmas reading. So some odd things that are part of the fabric of a British Christmas. But do you realise that the first Christmas was also, in fact, quite odd? That night in Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, was a little peculiar. Let me explain. When Luke tells the Christmas story, the key elements are the birth of Jesus, the manger, Jesus' first cot, the angels and the shepherds. Now, for many of us, there's nothing particularly jarring about this. Those things are the details of the nativity story. And we hear about them each year, and we're not that surprised. They're just part of the furniture, aren't they? But in fact, they don't fit together. Let me explain. Let's start with the angel. Through the angel, God made his announcement to the world. It's God's biggest announcement in the whole Bible. And we know this because after the lead angel has spoken, a whole host of angels shows up and declare God's praise. And this never happens at any other time in the Bible. Certainly last time I checked. Jesus was born in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph. They put him in a manger for his first night. But what is the meaning of this? This is God's big announcement. His angel tells us the meaning. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. He is Christ the Lord. God's big announcement. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Christ. Jesus is Lord. That's God's explanation of what's happening on the first Christmas night. Now, each of those titles would be massive on its own. But Jesus gets all three at once. Jesus is a Savior sent by God. He's a king from God, but he isn't just a regular king. He's the long-awaited king of prophecy, the Christ, the Messiah. And he's the Lord. Now, Luke writes that an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds. That's God's angel. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. That's God's glory. So when the angel declares that Christ is the Lord, he is saying that Jesus is God. Savior, Christ, Lord. These are massive status titles for the newborn baby Jesus. But here's the odd thing. Look at the audience for this mega declaration. Shepherds, ordinary folks doing low-pay work with inconvenient working hours. Why is God making his grand announcement in the middle of the night to shepherds? If we got an advertising agency to make the announcement, they'd be contacting the high and mighty, the celebrities, royals, global political and religious leaders, wouldn't they? Why doesn't God make the announcement to Caesar Augustus, the man in charge of the entire Roman Empire? After all, he's God, he can make the announcement to anybody. Why didn't he announce it to Quirinius, the governor of Syria, mentioned in the Christmas story? Why didn't he announce it to King Herod, the current king of the Jews, the king of Judea? Surely that would have been more strategic marketing. And poor old Herod, he's not in the know at all. He only finds out later on about the new Jewish king that's been born. And when he gets the message, it's secondhand from foreigners. So do you see the scale of the announcement from the angel doesn't really fit with the shepherds? It's quite odd. Then the second odd thing, the manger cot. A manger was an animal food trough made of wood or stone. It was for feeding hay to cattle and donkeys. And the word manger is linked with the French word manger, which means to eat. Jesus' first cot wasn't the silver birch snug cot from Mamas and Papas. No, it was a place to feed animals. Luke mentions the manger 3 times in a relatively short Christmas story. Why is Jesus' first bed the main detail? The manger and the things that the angels say about Jesus, Savior, Christ, and Lord, don't fit together. They're at odds with each other. Now, most of us want to have a cozy Christmas. Don't worry about the energy price hike for a few days. Have the heating on as much as you like. Eat delicious food. Relax by the fire. Snuggle down. Surely God, the King of the universe, would have his son born in a royal palace. Only the best for God's son, surely. Surely he'd organize a plush setting for the birth of his one and only. But God doesn't. Mary and Joseph are in Bethlehem when lots of other people are visiting because of the Roman census, collecting personal data for taxation purposes. Oh no, not taxes at Christmas. Taxes at the birth of Jesus. We definitely don't want taxes at Christmas time, do we? But surprisingly, Her Majesty's Revenue state on the website that 3,275 Brits filed their tax returns on Christmas Day 2022. If you were one of those people, do please come and speak to me after the service. So anyway, Mary and Joseph are in Bethlehem because of the tax census, and the animal food trough ends up being the best option for their newborn. God's declaration that Jesus is the Savior doesn't fit with the ordinary shepherds. God's declaration that Jesus is the Christ doesn't fit with the animal food trough bed. Do you see that the first Christmas was actually quite odd? What's going on? What's the meaning of the gift? Well, with Jesus, God did a reset. He didn't announce the Savior to the ruling class of the day, Caesar, Quirinius, Herod. He announces the birth of the Savior to ordinary working people. Jesus is a Savior for ordinary people like you and me. Any farming families in the church tonight? I see a hand, thank you. Jesus is a Savior for you. God didn't give his son to the world as a gift through King Herod's family, the royal line. No, he starts again. He chooses Mary, a godly but ordinary Jewish woman, betrothed to be married to an ordinary Jewish man, Joseph the carpenter. Jesus, the Christ King, is for ordinary working people, people who work in carpentry and joinery, in furniture making and on-site construction. The manger tells us that when the Lord God came to live the human life, He didn't come to enjoy the very best that his world had to offer. He came as a humble king and savior. In fact, he experienced the very worst of his world. During his lifetime, King Jesus was outside the political structures of his day. He didn't lead the Jewish parliament, the Sanhedrin. He didn't sit on the royal throne. Herod did that. He didn't amass the kind of wealth that normally goes with being a king. His first night was in a not very hygienic room with animals. And Jesus, the Savior, Christ, and Lord, died on a cross, punished as a criminal with robbers. A humble birth, a humiliating death. God was not interested in proving his status through the birth and life of Jesus. Instead, he came as an outsider to identify with ordinary people. He came to save us, whether we are poor or rich. A king for ordinary people, a savior for ordinary people. God became one of us, but not with a king-size bed, but with an animal food box for his first night. So how do we respond to the first Christmas, the odd Christmas? This is my last section for this evening. Well, Luke highlights three responses in his telling of the story. We can spread the word, we can treasure, and we can ponder. The shepherds find baby Jesus in the manger, just as the angel had declared. And in response, they go and spread the word about the amazing events of that night. They glorify and praise God for all that they've heard and seen. Like the shepherds, we can spread the word about Jesus. And we can give God our praise from our hearts as we sing the Christmas carols. Mary's response was different. Hers was the response of a mother, and mums here tonight will resonate with her response. After the shepherd's visit, which must have been a moment of wonder for her and Joseph, Luke tells us that she treasured up these things in her heart, and she pondered them. Mums, no doubt you have those treasured memories from your own children's childhood. First words, achievements, moments of affection and love. But imagine what it was like for Mary with the things declared about her son on the night of his birth. Like her, we can treasure Jesus in our hearts. We can prize and value him as God's greatest gift to us. And like Mary, we can ponder Jesus' identity. Savior, Christ, and Lord. What do these things mean? Luke wrote his short book about Jesus to help you do that. Why not read it this Christmas time? You can find it in any Bible. We've got some copies on the table by the entrance. With a couple of clicks on the web, you can find it, or you can download the free Bible app on your phone. And if you'd like help understanding the meaning of Jesus, then come and sign up for Hope Explored ahead of February. Or come to the 421 Youth Group if you're aged 11 to 18. Or come to the All Saints Sunday Club if you're 16 or under. We'd love to help you to ponder Jesus, to think about him and what he means, and to discover him as your Savior, your Christ, and your Lord. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the birth and gift of Jesus. Thank you that you gave him to us because you love your world. And we see tonight, Lord, that his birth has been placed at the center and heart of British culture, of the British Christmas. So we pray Father, that when Christmas is over, we won't leave him and forget about him. But we pray that you would help us to know him, to seek him, and to love him. Amen.